Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, tonight is the 20th of February in the year 2019. Alhamdulillah, the last two sessions we've been discussing the important subject of sacred knowledge. And the last report I mentioned was the narration in Al-Khatib in his Tariq, where Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pardoned are the sins of the generous, the mistakes of the scholar, and the hastiness of the just ruler, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has graciously taken from their hands all their stumbles and errors. So in this report, these three categories are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The generous, He forgives because of their generosity. The scholars' mistakes, He forgives because they're striving their utmost, even when they err, Allah forgives them. And the quickness of the just ruler, where he makes an error because of a rashness, Allah has taken from their hands all their stumbles and errors. So the lesson from this hadith is that if Allah the Almighty and Glorious is honoring the scholar, then what about us? Think about that. If Allah the Almighty and Glorious is forgiving the mistakes of the scholar because of what how he's serving the deen, then obviously we should have even more veneration for those who are serving the deen. Let alone such veneration for the blessed scholars. One of the dreaded signs of the approach of the hour is that the blessed scholars would not only be looked down upon, but even their blood spilt. In Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus 5-439, Ibn Asakir, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, a time will come in which murdering a scholar would be like murdering a dog. Perhaps in that time, the scholars will be insane, i.e. for the people to treat them as such. Astaghfirullah. So think about that. Sayyidina Ali goes, a time is coming where the murdering of a scholar, it will be just like killing a dog. And Hazrat Ali then said, maybe they're insane. But what he was really saying was, insanity is all over the place because an alim has been killed. So question, who's murdering the scholar? Why would you murder somebody? A murder always, there's an incentive for somebody to kill. Because he's preaching the truth. And hasn't that time come? Right? Ulama have been killed for no reason. They've been put in prisons and the key been thrown away. Indeed, such would be the state at that time that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, a time will come to the scholars when death will be dearer to them than red gold. SubhanAllah. A time will come to the scholars when death will be dearer to them than red gold. This is in Hakim, it is Mustadrak 4-563, states Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim. So think about that. So they've been murdered, the scholars, but are they upset? No. They want to leave. Why do the scholars want to leave? Because of the fitna and fasad. People not showing veneration to the sacred knowledge, they feel like strangers. In fact, there's a report that says that one of the strangers is a scholar from whom nobody benefits. That's a stranger. A mushaf that is not recited, that is a stranger. A masjid that is not attended, that's a stranger. So one of the categories is a scholar from whom nobody benefits. Now, if he's in that state, he wants to leave. But he loves it that much, more than red gold. He's yearning to leave. So this is why the ulama mentioned that you should supplicate regularly to preserve yourself from such an abysmal time. You should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which the ulama are not respected. Why? Because it's an abysmal time. Now with regards to the etiquettes, one of the etiquettes of the students, Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayh in Sayyid al-Khatir, Captured Thoughts, page 277-8 of the New English Translation. One should outwardly show eagerness to take as much from their respected teachers as possible. Why? Because Hafiz Ibn al-Jawzi, he beautifully articulated, rahmatullah, if such a person, i.e. a student, managed to understand what I had delivered and shown appreciation for the efforts I put into teaching him, I would then have respected him more and become encouraged to disclose to him the best of what I have. So stop in the quote. So one of the etiquettes of the students is, you should outwardly show eagerness to take as much from the teachers. That's very important. Some, you go to a gathering, the guy's looking at the ceiling, gazing. Another guy's yawning, another guy's looking at his mobile phone. So does that have an impact? Yes. The impact is you won't get nothing from the teacher. So Hafiz Ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayh, he's articulating this. He goes, if a student understood what I am delivering and I see appreciation, I would respect him more, I would give him the best of what I have. Then he said, however, as I realize he does not deserve receiving the knowledge that I teach, I do not offer him that knowledge and I neglect him. So think about that. This was his kind of policy. He would look at a student, if he shows that this person is eager, he would be very generous with him. Another person, he wouldn't. Then the Shaykh said, the Quran includes astonishing wisdoms and gems that whoever investigates using his arm of intellect and reflects upon it thoughtfully will then be drawn nearer to and favored by the one who revealed it. So stop in the quote. Now what's he saying? He goes, look at the Quran. The Quran is fathomless. It's got knowledge till Qiyamah. But who acquires that knowledge? The one who's dedicated. And Allah Ta'ala favors him because of his commitment. Then he said, on the other hand, those whose minds indulge deeply into the tangible, they will not be granted the privilege of such a high rank. Then he quotes a verse. In Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 146, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ عَيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَقَبَّلُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. I will turn away from my signs those who are arrogant upon the earth without right. So look at this beautiful quote by Hafiz Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayh. So he says, not only is it a teacher-student relationship, the Quran sets the standard. So you'll see people, some people, they're totally alien to the Quran. Now what does that actually mean? It means Allah has not given them anything. It's just a book. I'll read it in Ramadan twice, put it on top shelf. But then you get another person, he's fascinated by the Quran. So what happens? Allah Ta'ala starts opening up, gives him more, and then his eagerness increases. So he goes, and the Shaykh goes, don't you see that? He said this about 800 years ago, what about now? Because don't you see that? And then the Shaykh says, but if a person puts that effort into the tangible, meaning dunya, he will not be given this gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then look how interesting, he's a mufassir. He's allowed to do this. We're not. Hafiz Ibn al-Jawzi said, this verse highlights this. Which verse? Surah 7 verse 146. I will turn away from my signs those who are arrogant upon the earth without right. Turn away from what? Allah Ta'ala says, you have the attitude, I'm not giving you nothing. And who are the most ignorant people? You know it's the proud. Allah Ta'ala promises that. He goes, this is what that verse is indicating. Indeed, Sufyan ibn Uyayna said about this same verse. Imam Sayyuti rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Itqan 2-480. Oh, the verse means, I subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away from them the ability to understand the Quran, i.e. the very core of our entire deen. So what does the verse say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ عَيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّلُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. I will turn away from my signs those who are arrogant upon the earth without right. Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, means I will take away from them the ability to understand the Quran. Now why is this an amazing sign? Because these people aren't stupid. What do I mean? You got people with PhDs. Have they got brains? Yes. Then why aren't they studying the Quran? And what's the line they come out with? It's 2D. You got a PhD. You know, a literate person, then maybe some argument could be there. Something else has gone wrong with you. The reality is Allah Ta'ala has turned you away from it. He's not giving you the ability. Why? Because you turned away from His gift. Right? So this is another sadness that you'll notice. But note, the Shaykh was saying this is to do with the relationship that you have with the teachers. So for instance, the student should outwardly avoid all signs of inattentiveness, such as yawning, talking, stretching the legs, etc., so that they can get the best out of those who are teaching them. Otherwise, the loss is nothing but your own. Isn't that true? Right? You notice that you see a sheikh, and sometimes you think, oof, he's flowing. Other days, he's like, he doesn't know anything. Of course he knows things, but he doesn't want to share. Then you start thinking, why, maybe he's had a bad day at the office? No. There's other reasons as well. He refuses to share. So you're causing harm to yourself. Look at Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. What did he do to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that caused the Prophet to make a dua for him? Any of you know? What did he do? That the Prophet made a famous dua for him because of it.
Is anyone asked that question?
No. In Sahih Bukhari, he served him. In Tahajjud, he gave the water. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his wife, who's brought this water? It was your cousin. And then the Prophet has made a dua for him. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give him the understanding of the Quran. So do you say subhanAllah to that? SubhanAllah. Hang on a minute. What did he do? He was serving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did the Prophet do? He opened the treasures. Right? So there's not just narrating about the Sahaba. Think about that. That dua was more powerful than all his own learning. Because the Prophet made a dua for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they knew the Prophet was teaching them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam, who's coming back, what did he say? All disciples, radiyallahu ta'ala, do not cast the pearls to swine. For the swine make no use of pearls. And do not give wisdom to those who do not desire it. For wisdom is better than pearls. And those who do not desire it are worse than swine. SubhanAllah. This is in Ahmad in his Zuhd, page 93, 295. Abd ibn Humaid ibn Asakir, Abdul Razak in his Al Musannaf, number 20482, 11-257. So let's look at this. What did Jesus Christ say? Alayhi salatu wasalam. He's talking to his intimate Sahaba, the Hawadiyun. Do not cast pearls to the swine. He's using figurative speech. Doesn't mean go to the pigsty and start throwing pearls, right? He's not talking about that. How did he describe wisdom? Pearls. Now think about that. How did he describe those who are interested in wisdom? Imagine, he goes, khanzir. Even though he may think he's something. No desire for knowledge, khanzir. Then he said, do not give wisdom to those who don't desire it. No, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you don't desire it, don't give it to them. For wisdom is better than pearls. And those who don't desire it are worse than khanzir. So let's put it simply. The mighty messenger of Allah, Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salatu wasalam, considered those who have no eagerness or desire to acquire knowledge worse than swine. SubhanAllah, can there be a greater insult by Rasulullah? Imagine somebody goes, you're a pig. Then he goes, no, but sorry, I'm sorry. forgive me, I made a mistake. Oh, what are you going to apologize? No, you're worse than a pig. That's what the Prophet's calling you. Now when we say, it doesn't mean anything. He might have said something, done something that made you angry. A Prophet doesn't speak except with the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people out there are worse than pigs in the sight of Christ? Think about that. I've got no desire, not bothered. Imagine, you tell them, no desire. Then you say, brother, well, according to Sharia, you're worse than a pig. Right? But note, he also said, don't cast pearls to pigs, for pigs make no use of pearls. That's for the teacher. Indeed, our beloved messenger is reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is considered squandering knowledge that one discusses it with someone unworthy of it. This is in Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 1765, Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, number 20480, 11-257. Let us look at this. What did our beloved messenger say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You're wasting knowledge, you're not showing respect to it, if you discuss it with somebody not worthy. So there's a two-way process here. You got to know when to share the knowledge, otherwise you're squandering it. And from the other aspect, you must be eager to acquire knowledge, otherwise you're worse than a pig. Those who enjoin the good and forbid the evil are given an immense promise by no other than the Lord of the worlds. Now this is very important. When Allah the Almighty and Glorious promises something, will He ever break His promise? Now think about this. He's given a very beautiful secret promise in the Quran for those who enjoin the good and forbid the evil. But you have to combine a few verses. So the first, in Surah Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah 47, verse 7, the Almighty and Glorious says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. Oh, you who believe, if you help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will help you and He will keep your feet firm. This is the first verse. In another place of the glorious Quran, the Almighty and Glorious says, in Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 160, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Yansurukumullahu fala ghaliba lakum. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you, then nobody will be able to overcome you. Somebody goes, hang on a minute. What does it say in the first verse? So let's go through the first verse again. Surah 47, verse 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, if you help Allah, look at the words he's using. In tansurullah, if you help Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will help you and He will keep your feet firm. Question. Allah ta'ala doesn't need help. We need help. So why has He said that? Because He's asking you to help His deen. Aid His deen. He will help you and keep your feet firm. Then in the other verse, He gives you why. In Surah 3, verse 160. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you, nobody can overcome you. Thus, there are three divine promises. The divine promises for those who enjoin the good, forbid the evil are, number one, He subhanahu wa ta'ala will help and assist you throughout your life. How priceless is that? Number two, He will keep you firm on your faith. How priceless is that? And number three, He promises that nobody will be able to overcome you. How priceless is that? Now imagine, forget about the holy verses. You go to a Muslim. Say, would you like these three atom bombs, brother? What atom bombs? Would you like Allah Ta'ala to help and assist you throughout your life? Which fruitcake would say no? He goes, brother, second, would you like this? Would you like Allah Ta'ala to keep you firm so your iman doesn't shake? In this time of fitna, yes. Number three, would you like that nobody, no matter what they try, will overcome you? Because what is it, brother? What do I need to do? Enjoin the good, forbid the evil. Let me ask you a question. When talking about enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, why do people go straight to the hadith? You know, it's right, brother, the rewards and the quote. MashaAllah, brother. What does it say in Quran about this deed? And the guy looks here, he goes, well, it's mentioned you should do it. Because I could have told you that, brother, right? But exactly what is the deal? Has Allah Ta'ala given you any kind of assurances? If you do this, what's He promising you? And look at these promises. And this is why, let me flip the coin. You're not doing this. Now what's going to happen? So let's go through it. Number one, He will not help and assist you. You're going to have problems. Number two, your iman's going to be all over the place. One day, feel like, you know, I'm ready. Next day, I feel like I'm an apostate. Third, everybody comes and confuses you. Which one are we? Right? Why are we in that state? Allah Ta'ala never breaks His promise. Subhanallah, one should not find this surprising. Why? Now we can go to the hadith. In Tabarani, Ibn al-Najjar, Khatib ibn al-Sharf al-Sahaba, Targhib, Ganzul Umal, volume 5, page 240, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 782-3, of the New English Translation. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he said, Rasulullah once made the following dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shower your mercy on my successes. The Sahaba looked at each other, radiyallahu ta'ala, because Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are your fortunate successors that you've made a dua for? The dua you've made is, shower your mercy on them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, those who will come after me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will narrate my ahadith and teach them to the people. Look how the hadith is explained in the Quran. Now you say to a person, brother, would you like divine mercy to be showering on you like there's a downpour? Because you're asking tough questions, brother. Of course. But I want a guarantee. Because the guarantee is from Rasulullah. Oh, brother, what is it? Where do I sign up? What did he say? He made that dua for his successes. Now think about that. Who has he called his successes? Successor means you've inherited from him. So not only you've got this dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, these are my inheritors. So the sahaba goes, who are they, Ya Rasulullah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all you have to do, imagine, those who come after me, narrate my hadith, teach them to the people. The divine mercy will be showered upon you. If that wasn't all, another report. In Tirmidhi, number 2685, Hassan Gharib, it is a supporting text on the authority of Abu Darda, radiyallahu anhu, and Abu Dawud ibn Majah Bihaki in Shu'ab al-Iman, together with other da'if narrations on the authority of Anas and Abu Sa'id, all with similar meanings. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi therefore stated, Sahih, in Sahih al-Jami, number 1838, 4213, and Sahih al-Tarhim, number 78. So let's look at the authenticity first. This narration, Imam Tirmidhi said, is acceptable. Other narrations with the same meaning from other Sahaba are in Abu Dawud Ibn Majah, but they have weakness in the chains. Shaykh Al-Bani Rahmatullah Alayh looked at all the chains. He said, it's sahih because of the multiple chains. One is authentic, others are weak. You combine it all, it's flawless. What did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, send salah upon the person who teaches the people good. Subhanallah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna. What does that sound like? Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, send salat upon the person who teaches the people good. So let's combine all this. What's the price? You enjoin the good, forbid the evil. Allah Ta'ala will help and assist you throughout your life. Allah Ta'ala will keep you firm on your faith. Allah Ta'ala promises nobody will be able to overcome you. You will be showered with divine mercy because of the prophetic dua for you. You are the successor of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And to crown it off, no other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send salat upon you, including the angels, alayhi salatu wa salam. Now this is the angle, you look at this deed. The crackpots, they go, is it wajib? I'm not bothered, brother. Right? Look how stupid people are. Is it farad, is it wajib? Are you concerned about that? After hearing all that, you should be thinking, I need to sign up. And this is the weakness. People say, oh brother, it's not farad, leave it to the scholars. Leave that to the scholars. Are you feeling alright? Like they say in English, where's the party? Right? Meaning, I need to get to the party. How much do you need to do to get this? Allah Ta'ala doesn't need much from you. You help His deen, He will help you. He promises that. But this is the problem. If you do your five pillars, are you helping the deen? You're only helping yourself. Right? And look how interesting, even in English, when you say help yourself, you can actually turn that into an insult. Help yourself, brother. Meaning, all you're bothered about is yourself. You're eating and eating, help yourself, brother. But when you enjoin the good, forbid the evil, you are helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. And that's why this was the striking trait of Rasulullah. Think about that. That was his ultimate concern. How to get the message across to the entire mankind and the jinn. And you've left it. Think about that. The core of our deen. Kuntum khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of nations raised for mankind because you enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Allah Ta'ala doesn't even make you the best of nations, He puts a condition. Because you enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Does He make a condition there? Only the ulama do it. Right? Therefore, each to your own capacity. And now we're living in a time where you don't even need to speak. Press a few bones. Imagine, I don't even need to speak now. Allah Ta'ala has made it even that easy. Tish, 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 tish. You sent it. Where did you send it to? I don't know, brother. It's gone all over the world. Right? Subhanallah. Also consider carefully. But I'll go through that tomorrow, inshallah, because it's a large quote. So all I mentioned today was basically, again, talking about sacred knowledge. Mentioning the dreaded time in which scholars would be actually killed. Their blood will be spilt. And they'll be happy because they'll be wanting to go. Why? Because of the fitna and fasad. And then I mentioned what Hafiz ibn Jawzi said about the eagerness that the students should have so they can take the most from their respected teachers and scholars. And then, of course, I mentioned sharing knowledge isn't just as easy as sharing it. You must be worthy for it. Otherwise, problematic. And if you have no desire to learn, you're worse than a pig. Think about that. Astaghfirullah. And what's interesting about that, if you're doing your five pillars, but you've got no desire to learn your deen, you're still worse than a pig, according to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. You know that you are that category. Therefore, you should make dua, Ya Allah, give me a desire to learn about my deen, incessant desire. And then, of course, I mentioned the great promises of Rabbul Alameen for those who enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Immense promises that He promises, and surely He never breaks His promises. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, of course, the prophetic narrations about how incredible this deed is. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa atubu ilayhim nashhadu anjim, subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat, wa tawasaw bil haqq, wa tawasaw bis-sabr, sadaqallahu al-azim. MashaAllah. Anything you want to ask?